Certain voices are so totally individual that we can recognize them the second we hear them. Régine Crespin had that kind of voice. It was a quintessentially French sound, yet it adapted effortlessly to German, Italian, and Russian. It had warmth, but also clarity, staggering depth and power, but also the ability to float like the lightest lyric soprano. Everything Crespin achieved as an interpreter showed that indefinable something that separates the great singers from the merely good ones. In opera, nobility and serenity came easily to Crespin. Listen to her Leonora in Fidelio. But in contrast, Crespin also could reduce audiences to a state of helpless, giddy delight with her sophisticated wit, her sexiness, and her sheer enjoyment in performing. All of that comes through in one of her most captivating recordings, Ah, cher monsieur, excusez-moi, from Henri Christinet's operetta Fifi. Crespin was born in Marseille and grew up in Nîmes. She inherited her love of singing from her Italian grandmother. The plan was for her to train to be a pharmacist, but she failed the essential exams. Her mother offered to pay for singing lessons if she promised to sing high-quality music. Her first singing teacher thought she was hopeless and told her, "You have the chest of a singer, but no voice." But the voice did emerge. By age 19, she was studying at the Paris Conservatory, and a big career was anticipated for her. But after graduation, she didn't get a contract at the Opéra de Paris, a big surprise to everyone. So she went to Reims to make her professional debut there in Werther, an opera that would be a triumph for her later on. Tu m'as dit à Noël, et j'ai crié. Years later, Crespin would tell her students, "Don't do what I did." By that, she meant singing Elsa in Lohengrin at age 22, first in Mulhouse, and then a year later for her Paris debut. She didn't do too well with the Parisian press and public, so back she went to the provinces to build up her repertoire. When she returned to Paris in 1955, it was to star successfully in roles of Weber, Verdi, and various French composers. The highlight was singing the second prioress, Madame Lidoine, in the French premiere of Poulenc's Dialogues of the Carmelites. The role embodied a special womanliness and dignity that came naturally to Crespin. Thank you. But Crespin wasn't excited by Madame Lidoine. She wanted a bigger acting challenge, and it was Madame de Croissy, the first prioress, with her devastatingly moving death scene that she longed to play. Poulenc himself predicted Croissy would one day be hers. In 1957, Wieland Wagner was casting Parsifal for the following summer at the Bayreuth Festival. He wanted a new kind of soprano for Kundry and told Crespin he was tired of excessively dark voices in the role. He was looking for a sunny, Mediterranean voice. But Crespin was intimidated. Text was always hugely important to her, and she'd never sung Wagner in German. In Paris, she found a brilliant literary scholar, Lou Bruder, who not only taught her to sing terrific German, he became her husband in 1958, a union that lasted 11 years. Crespin created a sensation at Bayreuth, and she sang there for several more seasons. Her Kundry gave Wieland Wagner everything he'd hoped for. The next few years were fabulous for Crespin. She conquered La Scala, Vienna, Glyndebourne, Covent Garden. Finally, in 1962, came her American debut at Lyric Opera, as Tosca, a signature role in the first half of her career. In 1963, Crespin returned to Lyric for no fewer than three starring roles in one season, Amelia in Un ballo in maschera, Beethoven's Leonora, and another of what she called Les Wagneriennes blondes, the blonde Wagnerian ladies, Elisabeth in Tannhäuser. Crespin sang one more role at Lyric, Ariadne, in 1964. Her signature role in German was another Strauss heroine, the Marschallin, which introduced her to the Metropolitan Opera in 1962, following her Lyric debut. She brought to the Marschallin a regality, an elegance, an alluring femininity, and there was her secret weapon in the role, a pianissimo sent from heaven. Crespin's legions of admirers regretted that her vocal prime included so little French opera. But at the time, few French works suited to her voice were popular in opera companies internationally. During the 1960s, only occasionally did wonderful opportunities in French come her way. For example, for her debuts in two cities where she was hugely loved, Iphigénie en Tauride in Buenos Aires and Les Troyens in San Francisco. In those operas, she had a breadth in her singing, a dignity and eloquence and sheer class that critics referred to as the grand manner. We hear it in an aria that used to be expected from any French spinto soprano, from Gounod's La Reine de Saba. In the early 1970s, at the same time that she was going through serious emotional difficulties, Crespin found herself in dire vocal straits. She worked very hard to get herself back on track. Once she did, her sound was still her sound, maybe not as supple as before, and with some notes lost at the top, but interpretively, she was more thrilling than ever. Her Carmen and Charlotte at the Met were milestones in her exploration of a whole new repertoire. In 1977, fulfilling Poulenc's prediction for her, she sang for the first time Madame de Croissy in the Met's first Carmelites. She eventually sang that role in London, Paris, and San Francisco. Fortunately, there's a commercial recording of her in the role. Here's a bit of that memorable death scene where we can totally get what made Crespin incomparable singing in her own language. Crespin's vocal transition led her into a realm that hadn't figured very strongly in her career, French operetta. Most of this was on recordings, but on stage she did take on Offenbach's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein. Playing a heroine who has a weakness for any military man, Crespin's panache and sex appeal were overwhelming. In the twilight of her years on stage, Crespin had terrific successes in Menotti's The Medium and Tchaikovsky's Queen of Spades. In the course of a performing career that ended in 1989, she sang nearly 50 roles, plus countless memorable recitals and concerts. During her final decades, she was in huge demand as an inspiring teacher and coach. In 1997, she spent two extraordinary weeks with Lyric Opera's Young Artist Program. She was a riot to talk to, providing wonderful anecdotes in a speaking voice that by then had become a provocative-sounding baritone. Crespin returned for Lyric's 50th anniversary gala in 2004, a bit fragile physically, but with her lively mind and her matchless sense of humor totally intact. She died in 2007 at the age of 80. If you want a really frank autobiography that digs deeply into a singer's soul, try Crespin's book On Stage and Off Stage, published in France as La Vie et l'Amour d'une Femme, A Woman's Life and Love. She recalls a childhood both loving and harrowing. Her love life, with the details tactfully and tastefully handled, her courageous struggle with cancer, and all the greatest triumphs and trials of her career. As a human being, Régine Crespin was earthy, passionate, generous, astoundingly resilient, full of joie de vivre, and totally irresistible. Thank you.